This is WGNS Action Line, talking with Rutherford County newsmakers about what matters most to you. Now, your host, Scott Walker.
In studio with us today, we have Lisa Trell and Tori Carr from the Murfreesboro City Schools. How are both of y'all doing today?
Very good, thank you. How are you?
I'm good. So what's new within the school system?
Well, we have just delivered $72,000 in grants to our teachers from our City Schools Foundation. We did that last week, and the grants were just amazing this year. It was 50 grants that were funded. We actually had over 150 requests, so we were able to grant about a third of those. And that is, our teachers are ready to put those in action. Actually, they already have their purchase orders in, and I think we'll see a lot of those grants in action by the time we get back from fall break.
Now, I know you've talked a little bit about that before, but these grants, tell us a little bit more about how the teachers go about getting the funds, and do they have to write the grant themselves?
Yes, it is a very easy grant process. So the teachers will go in and put their request in and do their little bit of research to know what they're needing, how much it's going to cost, who it's going to serve. So what we saw this year was a lot of multiple grade levels writing grants together. So it'd be a school-wide grant. Probably saw more of those this year than we've ever seen in the past. It just keeps growing because they're looking at what will benefit all the students in our school or what will benefit all the students in our grade level. So we had everything, a lot of science, technology, music, quite a few PE grants this year. And they write them, the panel of judges, they make their decision anonymously. So until they actually do the final vote, they don't even know which schools or which teachers have received those grants. So you might see when you look at our grant list, there's some teachers receive multiple grants because they wrote multiple requests. And then most of our schools received at least one grant. I think this year our lowest was $125 and our highest was right at $6,000. Mm-hmm. Last year, I think our highest was right around 20,000.
Yeah, it was really, really big last year.
So it's just amazing that our foundation just comes together and does this hard work, this, you know, heavy lifting for our schools, and just really to the delight of the teachers.
And these are not your typical grants. It's not like they are writing the state. They're not writing the federal government. I mean, these are grants that are all local.
Yeah, so it really, some of the grants were for spheros or robots, robotic kind of things where it's coding in the classroom or coding in the STEM lab. Really cool grants that wouldn't necessarily be funded with taxpayer dollars. So this is something where they can kind of be innovative and go, okay, what else would make this learning deeper? And Tori, do you have a couple of those?
I do. So I always like to, whenever reading them, it's just really, you can tell so much by the title. And so that's what Lisa usually puts out. So as I'm looking over here, here's one, Mushroom Growth Kits for Grades, for third grade. And so that's at Mitchell Nelson Elementary. So, you know, whenever you see that, that's just not something that is in their standard. So this teacher says, hey, I saw this really cool idea. I want to implement that into my classroom. And our foundation gives her that opportunity to, and that one was only right at $2,000. So yeah, it was kind of right there in that middle. She wrote it, and that's just something our foundation said that would be really cool and really beneficial for those kids.
Now, it is in their standards. It just goes deeper into those hands-on.
So we have Frisbee Golf, and that's over at Salem. So that was their PE teachers writing that grant. So next year, you'll see Salem probably out there in their field with that Frisbee golf.
What kind of parameters do the teachers have in order to write these proposals?
There really is not a parameter. Now, the judges have parameters they follow, but a teacher can request whatever they want. Obviously, you have a panel of judges looking at it. So I should say that when we look at them, they do have to meet the curriculum standards of that grade level. They do have to follow. They can't be for some kind of curriculum that we would not be teaching.
So they can't write just anything.
Yes, so I should say they are some, but they can be creative, and they can look at like bird watching, because that's a second or third grade standard. We have lots of chickens. We didn't have any this time, I don't think, any hatcheries, but that's a lower grade. And then the upper grades have the robotics and all that kind of good stuff. So what you typically find is that a teacher has taught a particular lesson and said, man, this would be so great if. And then we are the ones who are able to fund the if, so that they have those manipulatives in their hands or in their classrooms. And it's like the PE, like, oh, it'd be so great if we could teach frisbee golf.
Yeah.
And because it's something to get the kids outdoors, it's a new type of activity for them. And it's not just all basketball or a swing set. It's where they're outdoors and they're really active. So that's when I say, like, they can use their imagination. Again, we did see a lot of robots, and it's very interesting because some of them were the B-bots, which is more that lower grade. Then we had one other bot that I hadn't heard of. It was, you can look at it real quick.
The bots are way out of my...
Yeah, so coding is a big thing that can happen from kindergarten to sixth grade. And the B-bots are the smaller ones. So the smaller coding, it's maybe three codes that to make it work. Whereas you go to the robotics that we are doing competition with, that's much, much more in depth. But anyway, you just see, it's just amazing what the teachers really do. And then we had some sensory type programs too, and that was really big for us last year, was a lot of those social emotional sensory room items, sensory pass, all of that. And we had, I think we funded either three or four of those type grants this year, just making sure that the children have somewhere to go or have something to do whenever they need to control their emotions, whether they need to, you know, kind of right themselves.
And when the teachers make these purchases for robots of some sort, or maybe it's a computer, are these items used, you know, the next 3, 4, 5 years?
Yes, absolutely. And that's one of the questions that's on the grant, is how long will these be used? How many students will it touch? And you can tell a lot of our funding goes with those that have those multiple year uses and are across grade levels. So, and that's the reason I think we saw several PEs, because they're going to last. I mean, when we do the frisbee golf, it's going to be there for a long time. There's another... I think that Irma Siegel got a different type of grant like that too in their PE department. But it's just really fun to see them in action year after year after year.
Did you start seeing more things, you know, proposals for grants for things that maybe help to calm children or bring down fears or anxieties during the whole COVID period? And from that, did you see a lot more?
Yes, absolutely. And that's last year, again, we funded quite a few of those type social emotional grants. This year, I think it was a little bit less request. I think we
was several, but this year, like Lisa was saying, is less, definitely less. But I'm looking. So here's one. It says sensory path. And I've seen those in our schools, and a lot of them are in the hallways. And so when those children just, when you just need that break and you can walk down the hallway and think about just a little activity for the kids to do. So you might see three frogs on the floor. So they will jump to those three frogs, or you might see a zigzag. So that's getting their brain to say, okay, let me focus on something different and calm down. And we've seen a lot of, peace corners or calming corners in our classroom. So those are really funded last year. And that's where the students can go and say, you know, I just need a break for a second. Let me go to this corner. And the teachers are so good, and they have that little area for their students to go and just kind of have that moment.
Yeah. It just allows them to have a set kind of series of activities or movements or things. It's not a break. It's not a recess. It is intentional of, okay, let me reset myself. As adults, we all know how to do that. We know how to breathe or walk away from the computer before we, you know, throw something at it, or, you know,
and set that remote down.
Yeah. I'm sure that, like, you do the same thing. Let me just walk away from this. This is frustrating. It's something I do every day, and today I cannot do it. And so that allows them to have a place when they've had that same thought process of, every day I can do this, but today is not going to be it. So those sensory paths or those special areas in the classroom really make a difference to let them reset.
Are we seeing more anxiety within the schools, more hyperactivity? Because, you know, nationwide, we've heard more and more reports of kids with anxiety that maybe never had that diagnosis before.
Well, you've got the communications team here, so we're probably not the ones to ask that. We do have counselors in all of our schools. We have social workers. We have made a real intentional effort to make sure we're addressing all of those. Our school board has been amazing in acknowledging the fact that we do see a lot of those anxieties in our classrooms and have funded positions so that we can deal with that. Now, I can't tell you the increase, but I can tell you that we are looking at that. And, you know, you always say, your money is where your heart is, or whatever the saying is. And we have put a lot of counselors and a lot of those opportunities into the school so that if children are experiencing anxiety, they have a place to go.
We really are focusing this year a lot on just that family engagement and connecting with our parents. Something that we are hosting is our parent universities, and parents can go and they can register on our website.
So the parent university is something that Dr. Duke and a lot of our senior leadership just said, this is something we really need to do. We need to get these parents back engaged. And we did lose a little bit of that during COVID, but it's coming back, you know, and we want to make sure that our parents are ready for whatever their child is ready for as well. We realize that parents should be a child's first teacher, and they are the child's first teacher. We're just trying to make it very intentional on what we're saying in the school during the school day so that they know what we're saying. We just did one on early reading literacy, and it was absolutely fabulous in how they can take what the child is learning during the day and enhance it in the evenings or on the weekends, and just understanding the words we're using and the children are using. So we have another one on a social emotional coming up as well. And then we're going to be doing one on those upper grade literacy, so reading skills. And then we're doing a math coming up as well.
And then when engaging with parents, are you finding that Zoom is a really easy way to do it? Or is it maybe not as involved, or you don't have as much involvement as you'd like to see?
We use both ways. So we've done two in person, two or three in person. I think every parent is different, and allowing that opportunity for them to come in person to learn, or Zoom if it works best for them, is really what we're trying to find that balance. Our first Zoom was with our kindergartens.
First time kindergarten
parents, and we had over 200 families on. And it was just really, you know, kindergarten families want to know what's coming up, which was really nice. So I think it allows them to be able to get that knowledge as far as a Zoom without having to try to work around their work day or
find childcare, or
get dinner ready. You know, it's 30 minutes and we're really trying to work it around the parents' work day. But I think I'm a hands-on learner. So to me, those in-person work better for me as when I was a parent. But the Zooms, it just gives you that knowledge without having to really take you out of your comfort zone.
Is there an interaction with the Zoom? I mean, can these parents ask questions during
the meeting?
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. So we have our team, and they will answer the questions in the chat box. You know, I think of it sometimes, I'll listen to a Zoom if I have a meeting or something, and you just pop in your headphones and I can listen to it in the car. And that's something that we want parents to be able to do. But if they're on their desktop or they're on their phone and they want to ask questions, we have a team and we answer those questions and we direct them to the right department or who they might need to reach out to. So when we were planning these parent universities, we want parents engaged, but it might not have to be for an hour. So this is just one of our, and I think our kindergarten one was about 30 to 40 minutes as well. So it's very intentional. Here's the information you need to know, and then we'll give you the resources of how to follow up.
And we start on time.
Oh,
like that's if you were late,
you
might be missing it.
We are not repeating. we go forward. So, but they have been a really, really good part of our school year so far.
And then coming up, you got a big break for the kids.
Fall break.
Everyone is ready. And for every teacher as well.
That's right. So with things like fall break, I mean, meetings the week before fall break, do you have much involvement or do you have less or more?
I guess we'll find out.
I think it's the same.
Not every parent goes somewhere for fall break. Yeah. So I look at it like that. I will be right here working.
Yes. And so I think we haven't seen any kind of decrease in it. I don't think anyone is really thinking about being off. Now, if we had it at Friday afternoon at 4:30, that might be a different. But right now, we're looking great with it. So.
Hey, and again, we're talking about the Murfreesboro City Schools. Lisa Trell and Tori Carr with us this morning. Now, how many students are enrolled in the city school system?
9,300, right at 9,300.
So 9,300. And then are there plans on the drawing board for any new city schools in Murfreesboro?
We will have to have a new school probably in the next 2 to 4 years, maybe 5. So we always are looking at that, but we're always trying to make sure that we're using our current facilities to the best capacity possible. So we did see a lot of growth at Black Fox, Irma Siegel area, a little bit different than what we've seen in the past, which was on that west side. We do know that there's a county school being opened next year, which we always watch to see where they're going so that we don't build two schools at one time. We want to make sure there's a need and that we're using our tax dollars very wisely. We are adding on to Reeves Rogers. It's one of our older schools that hasn't had any additions in a long, long time. So, and the reason behind that is to free up some space for a few more classrooms because they saw some growth this year, and they've seen some growth over the past couple of years. So really looking at that, if you remember the past 10 years, we've added on to Black Fox, we've added on to Hobgood, and we have built, Overall Creek was 10 years ago, Salem was 5 years ago. So we haven't built a school in the last since Salem, which was 5 years old. But just looking at how we can serve those students best, opening up Case and Lane Pre-K gave us a lot of seats in some areas that we didn't have it before. So we try to arrange every seat in the building before we start that building process. But if Murfreesboro continues to grow, we will certainly have to have a new school because a lot of our schools are right at capacity, especially on that west side.
I know in Rutherford County, it's easier for them to build in different areas because there's more property open in the county, whereas in the city of Murfreesboro, there's less and less open land in order to build on. So I guess when you guys start looking for future property to build on, you may have to tear down existing buildings even.
Well, we have already started looking. I mean, we work with the city and the city planning. Our relationship with the city is, I mean, we are a part of them. So they were always keeping us in their forefront and back of their minds, depending on what year it is, as far as what our need is. So I think that that'll be something that definitely the city is the one who purchases the property and builds our schools, and then we are the ones who run the schools. So that's one of those things that there's a group of people who meet on a regular basis just to talk about zoning and what we're seeing in the school so that the city isn't surprised and we're not surprised with the growth and where the housing is going.
I know Murfreesboro Parks have talked about the possibility of a new school on the future park site along Veterans Parkway. Is that a definite?
I think it's definitely a possibility. I mean, there is space there, and that's where the growth is. It's just not anything that's actually on any formal plan yet. But yes, on all of the informal stuff, it is really talking about a school there. And that's the reason I think that the city purchased such a large piece of land, which is nice because on the weekends and after school is out, our playgrounds become parks. They become part of that activities where the community can come and really get exercise and play. And
unlike county schools, city schools are literally in neighborhoods, you know. And I know that often whenever a county school is built, a neighborhood is built all around it, or several neighborhoods.
Same for the city. I mean, if you look at Overall Creek, when we built there, it was a large field, and now it is a neighborhood, a very big neighborhood that was not there because there wasn't even access to where we built.
Same with Salem.
Same way. It opened 5 years ago, and Tori lives in that area, and she's watched the growth for sure happen.
Yes, there's lots of houses, and like Lisa said, it is open on the weekends and after 6, and so you will see the neighborhood kids from Salem every single weekend just on the playground, using their fields, using just their space beside it. There's lots of bike riding that happens around their back loop. Mm-hmm. I've seen lots of little kids learning to ride their bikes over there. So it's nice when our schools can be that place for the community.
Throughout the country, there's been problems not only hiring enough teachers and trying to fill teaching positions, but also with school bus drivers. Has that been a problem for the city schools, finding enough school bus drivers?
Yes, in the past it really has been, and we've had to really look at how we get kids to school. We did have a little bit larger walk to school or parent responsibility zone added at several of our schools this year just because of the lack of drivers. We are right now, our team has done such a great job that we actually have all of our drivers in place. Now, as we hire one, we may have one retire. So it's always something we look at. But right now, all of our buses are running and very few times do we have late calls. They all do double routes. So again, you kind of have to work with what you have. And we have this amazing group of drivers and aides that make sure that our kids get from the starting point to the school and then back to that. So this year we did do a few different tweaks to those bus routes just to make it easier and faster for us to transport students from their home or their bus stop to school.
So double routes. So some of these buses or all the buses, I don't know, are they literally going to two different schools or is it the same school twice?
No. It's, well,
Sometimes both.
But most of the time, it's just double routes. And that's the reason we have 730 schools and 830 schools, is so those bus drivers can service both of those. Sometimes there is a double route to a school, but that is not, that's more rare. But yes, so they may be, for instance, Irma Siegel is a 730 school, John Pittard is an 830 school. So it's really easy. I say it's easy. The bus drivers make it work. So they drop off at one space and then they start picking up for the following school. And I think that's pretty typical across Tennessee, is to have those double routes now.
Makes sense.
Yeah. And it's not like we're in the county where they're driving a long distance. You know, there is a defined area that we're driving those buses. So sometimes if you were in those rural counties, you wouldn't be able to do that. But, you know, like I think of Cannon County, it took me 30 minutes on a bus or 40 minutes just to get to school because of how far we lived. It's a little different in the city, and we're very fortunate with that.
Of course, our city is growing larger and larger. Mm-hmm. You know, I think we're going to do another special census in the near future, that will be interesting, I'm sure.
Yeah, it definitely will be, and we'll see how that goes. So we'll try to help city with that, too, to get those numbers correctly. So before we do get off today, I do want to circle back to the foundation and the money that they are giving our schools. The only way they can do that is with fundraisers. So I'm going to plug their upcoming fundraiser for them. It's the City Schools Foundation Serve It Up Doubles Tennis and Pickleball Tournament. And that's going to be in November this year. It is just a great way to come out and support the foundation and the work that they do. Again, they can't give $70,000 in grants if they don't raise $70,000. They have two fundraisers a year. The tennis tournament is the first for the school year, and then it ends in the spring with Excellence in Education. So if you are a tennis player or a pickleball player and want to come out and have some fun, we would love for you to join us. The tennis will be played at Adams Tennis Complex, and the pickleball will be played at Irma Siegel Elementary. Again, these are fun. You're not gonna get ratings on them. So this is really
it's a casual play.
So we want to have great players, but there's not going to be a rating given to those. But we did also add a high school level this year because we had several requests last year. So if you have a high school team that wants to play with some doubles, it is all doubles, and then we will rate them. Like, the high schoolers will play high schoolers, men will play men, women will play women. So it's not like you're going to play a high schooler, if that makes sense. Yeah. So some of our players, that would make me cringe to play a high schooler.
And then all that money raised by the City School Foundation, that stays in Murfreesboro and that goes to local teachers.
Right. It definitely is. This is a local board. The foundation was established in 2005, so we're coming up on a 20th year anniversary. We're very fortunate to have the foundation, and these are business leaders and volunteers that just give their time. Some of them have students in the schools or children in the schools. Many of them do not. They are just here to make sure that our kids have the extra stuff they need.
This morning we're talking about the Murfreesboro City Schools, and we have with us today in studio Lisa Trell and Tori Carr. We're going to take a short break and then we will be right back.
The Action Line on FM 101.9 and AM 1450 Murfreesboro, FM 100.5 Smyrna. Listen and watch at WGNSradio.com.
Does your home need freshening up? Let our family at Farrah Construction help you. We do painting, new flooring, anything that you need. If you can dream it, Farrah Construction can turn it into reality. Farrah Construction offers high quality craftsmanship, quick response, and attention to detail. For home restoration at a price you can afford, Farrah Construction can get the job done, no matter how big or small it is. I'm Ron Hall. Shop local. Let our family business help you. Farrah Construction Company.
At Budge Tire Pros, we sell all major brands of tires, and we invite you to stop by today for that next set of tires. Or maybe you need us to check out your vehicle before you head out of town. We offer everything from brakes to batteries, alignments, and more. No appointments necessary, just stop on by.
I'm Allison Mitchell with Bud's Tire Pros. We're located on East Main Street, exactly 3 miles from the town square, 1 mile past Rutherford Boulevard. Visit us online at budstireprostn.com.
We're excited to announce that Capstar Bank is now officially a division of Old National Bank. All those friends you've made while banking here over the years, well, they're still there. And so are the delicious, warm, homemade cookies.
In Murfreesboro at 2230 Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard.
Everything you enjoyed at Capstar, still there at Old National Bank. Old National Bank, ready to serve you.
Old National Bank, member FDIC, equal housing lender.
This is Peter Demas, and our family is inviting your family to come eat with us at Demas's restaurant. The salmon is my favorite, and then we have a variation that's on a regular menu for the salmon imperial that has some Alfredo, some crab, some shrimp on it. But the salmon is fresh, and we cut it fresh. But all of our fish, you can either get blackened, or you can get it with our regular seasoned salt. And either way you do it, it's just out of this world. And I'm not a fish person, but I will eat it at Demas's all the time. Come eat with us at Demas's restaurant on Northwest Broad Street.
The Action Line on FM 101.9 and AM 1450 Murfreesboro, FM 100.5 Smyrna. Listen and watch at WGNSradio.com.
And again in studio, Murfreesboro City Schools, and we have guests Lisa Trell and Tori Carr. We had a question texted in this morning, and the question was in regards to the storms that hit multiple states, North Carolina, Georgia, Florida, and so forth. And the question was in regards to asking, after Hurricane Katrina, we did see an influx of new residents coming into Rutherford County. Do you expect to see that with all the storms that have devastated multiple areas in the recent days?
So, well, I'm going to go with my history of Katrina. When Katrina hit, I was on the Red Cross board, and we opened up a lot of sites for through the Red Cross here for Katrina victims. And I think the reason that they flooded in was because once they were here and found that hospitality of Rutherford County, that they stayed. So I have no idea is the honest answer. I don't know if the Red Cross will be opening anything here this time. Have you heard?
I have not.
I think they're closer to other areas. But I think that's probably the reason we saw that was because we had been so welcoming when they were in the direst of needs.
And really, there's no telling with all of this because, I mean, there's still so much going on.
Right.
I mean, everything from active cleanups to active rescues. I mean,
absolutely.
There's just a lot happening.
Absolutely. I was tied to the TV this morning and, you know, everybody has somebody that they're looking for or texting and trying to make sure that they're okay. That's a question I have no idea.
And I know we've got Middle Tennessee Electric crews. They have already gone to a couple of different states, you know, from Murfreesboro, but to those other states, and they're still there.
Yeah.
So there's going to be a lot more of that.
Yeah, and I tell you, you have to do a shout out for those line workers that are the first to respond. You know, we think of first responders in lots of different ways, but those people with their bucket trucks that are heading right into the storms, you have to give them a kudos and thank you.
And I don't know that we've seen such widespread flooding. You know, we've seen all types of storms, but flooding this widespread, I don't recall seeing it like this before.
Yeah, it is very different this year for sure. It's not where you think the hurricane is going to affect when you get to the inland areas.
Definitely. So what else is happening or coming up within the city school system?
Well, we have a lot of clinics coming up for our students as well. Work with MTSU every year to do our tennis clinic, and it's really a good introduction to our students for tennis and to meet, you know, these college-level tennis players and for them to help coach them. It's just such a great experience. MTSU softball girls are doing the same for us. So the tennis clinic is the 23rd of October, and the softball clinic is actually this Saturday
Next
Saturday of fall break. So it's Saturday, October 12th. All these signups are already ready to go. So if people are wanting to sign up, it's a great time to do that. They are free because MTSU is so great. But if you sign up, please bring them because we have limited numbers. And sometimes people will sign up and then back out. But if they back out and don't let us know, someone else is not able to attend the clinic because of that. So, you know, there's only so many spots we can do. We also have a basketball camp coming up that is being done by our coordinated school health department and our PE teachers. It'll be for third, fourth, and fifth grade. It's going to be a series of clinics with one big game day in November. So lots of that. We have our big MTSU basketball game that's coming up. There's just so many activities between when fall break ends, like so next week until we're out in December. So those activities are open for any student who is in pre-K through sixth grade, unless it's otherwise. Like the mini camp is for third, fourth, and fifth graders. We're going to have a sixth grade basketball camp coming up. And then we have a little clinic. Littles Clinic, which is for K through second grade, which is basketball as well. So those kind of things are things I think makes our school system so unique in that we're working together to make sure that parents have opportunities to learn, like the Parent University. We get outside of the school day with these sports clinics so that the children have hands-on opportunities to learn new sports, whether it's tennis or basketball or softball. And I think there's several other ones planned for this spring. So I think that really works well for Murfreesboro City Schools is everybody working together to make sure the school experience is wonderful and after school is just as incredible.
And all the details about these different camps, different activities, it can be found on the City Schools website, right?
Yes, cityschools.net. And most of these, if you are a parent, you're receiving dojo messages about or other things. But if you're just wanting to know what's going on in our schools, if you go to our website, cityschools.net, or if you follow us on Facebook or X
or
Twitter X, whatever it is now, or Instagram. We try to keep our social media active so they parents can know what's going on and our community can know what's going on. So whether you have a child in school or not, I invite you to kind of follow us so that you know what we're doing, because the students that we're educating today are going to be those workers in not that many years. They're going to be in our fast food restaurants. They're going to be in our industries. They're going to be the leaders in our community. And so that's what we're trying to do, is to make sure they're well-rounded, ready to serve kind of community.
Now, I know we talked about bus drivers and how nationwide there has been a shortage. What about teachers here locally in Murfreesboro? Has it been hard filling those teaching positions, and are there any open?
Well, we are blessed to be in the back door of MTSU, and that has helped us tremendously, and we have such good relationships with MTSU. We always have a few odd teacher, not odd, but, you know, those real specialty area teachers. Sometimes there's those openings, but we did begin the school year fully staffed.
I know that we are always looking for substitutes, however.
Substitutes, for
and
sure.
And interim teachers. So when those teachers might be going out on leave, and all of that's on our website as well, but we are always looking for substitutes. And I know something this year that we started was, if you want to be a permanent substitute at a specific school, you can sign up, and that is your home base, and you will report there every day as long as you are needed.
Yeah, I'm guessing a lot of parents sign up to be substitute teachers while their kids are still in school.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's a great place to go. Like if you want to stay at one specific school, our HR department works with you to make sure you're at one specific school. Or if you're on a particular side of town, like if you're on the west side of town or the north side of town, if you only want to serve one or two schools, that's available to you. The rates are very they vary based on whether you have a degree, whether you have a teaching degree, all kinds of things.
Sometimes I know on Fridays
you might get paid a little more. Mondays you might get paid a little more. So they're really trying to be competitive in those salaries for those substitutes. And they're always doing the training for substitutes. You do not go into a classroom untrained. So if you're interested in being a sub, if you just want to do one day a week or if you want to do 5 days a week, our HR department can really help you with that. So yes, we're looking for those. I don't think we have any teacher openings right now. I may be wrong, that we may have an interim or two just because of maternity leaves and, you know, all of those kind of things. We're pretty good right now.
Sounds good. Again, this morning we've been talking about the Murfreesboro City Schools, and our guests today have been Lisa Trell and Tori Carr, and that's pretty much going to wrap it up. So again, online, people can learn more about the city schools. What's the website again?
Cityschools.net.
That's easy enough.
That's easy.
Well, thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
Hey, this is Dan with Music World and Drummer's Den. Come in for, you know, guitars, keyboards, drums. We have lessons for anything with strings, mandolin, guitar, bass, you name it. We have lessons for anything with keys, Music World and Drummer's Den, and a professional drum teacher as well. So if you need to learn to play something, we have you covered. Come on in, buy you an instrument, start learning today at Music World and Drummer's Den, 2762 South Church Street, right across from the golf course.